I grew up in Eastern Washington State, and I grew up very religious. And I hear people say that all the time, and that means that they went to church once a week, and then they went home and just did whatever they wanted to do. That was not my life. I was an evangelical before evangelicals were evangelicals. We went to church 7 days a week. If we weren't at the church, we were at Bible study. If we weren't at Bible study, we were at a potluck. If we weren't at potluck, I was at youth group. If I wasn't at youth group, I was having Bible study before school in the morning. Who does that? I did. So as an evangelical child, when I was about a sophomore, I started to rebel. Now, rebellion in a lot of people means different things. But for an evangelical child, it meant that I started wearing all black. I started listening to that evil heavy metal music. And I developed a crush on this boy named Paul. And I developed the crush on the boy named Paul because he wore eyeliner. And I love boys in eyeliner. My parents were a little worried about me, and they were involved in a group called Walk to Emmaus. And Walk to Emmaus, for those of you who don't know, probably none of you do, it's a group where you go to a church for a weekend, and it's for adults. They go to the church for the weekend, and they are completely cut off from the outside world, and you just focus on your walk with Jesus. So my mom signed me up for what was called a chrysalis, and that was the, like, Walk to Emmaus light for kids. We went to a place called the Central United Protestant Church in Richland, Washington, and we didn't have cell phones then, but we had to take our watches off. We weren't allowed to do anything. We were told things like, dinner will be in this much time, so get ready. I don't know what that is, but it's this much time. And Jesus would tell you when it was time for dinner. Jesus and the lady with the guitar. So I was at this event, and I was really, like, I believed. I didn't believe like people believe when they are like, yeah, yeah, Jesus, great. I believed. Jesus and I were friends. We talked all the time. I believed in the Holy Spirit. I believed that the Holy Spirit could fill your life. I believed that the only way to have a peaceful life was to be with Jesus. And I knew that Paul wasn't really who I wanted to have a crush on. Paul wore makeup, and so did all the other girls that I liked. But that I couldn't say. I couldn't even put that out into words, because I knew that Jesus didn't like that. So I'm at the chrysalis, and Thursday we're there, and I meet my group leader, and she was this woman named Pat, and she was a farm lady, because Eastern Washington State's kind of rural, and Pat was a nice rural farm lady who loved Jesus. And so I was like, yeah, Pat and I were buddies. And so Pat and I were buddies, and through this entire weekend, I was firmly developing this, my relationship with Jesus again. I was going to stop this silly rebellion. I was going to throw away my Metallica CDs. I was going to focus. I was going to ignore Paul. I was going to be there, and it was going to be me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and yeah. And so anybody who's been evangelical or to any sort of church event like this knows that Saturday night is sort of the come to Jesus night. You have the big sermon and the big thing, and we did communion. We did communion with Oreos and milk because we were learning that it isn't just bread and wine. Anything can get you closer to Jesus. I loved it because look at me. I'm not going to turn down an Oreo. So it's Saturday night. I'm praying. We're doing this whole thing. And we're done, and we're getting ready to go back, and our parents are going to come to the church in the morning and pick us up. And I go over to Pat, and I lean in to give her a hug, and I say, thank you so much, Pat. You just don't know. This has been so meaningful, and I really feel connected, and I just thank you. And she said, get out of her, Satan. And I was like, what? And she said, don't laugh at me, Satan. And then this much time went by. I don't know how long it went. I can't remember a lot of what happened next, except that I was exercised and not like, but like demons out exercised. And a group of adults stood around me and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I had to take communion, unfortunately not the Oreo communion, over and over and over, because a little known fact is, if you have demons in you, you will cringe when the body of Jesus is put in front of you. And apparently I cringed a lot, because I remember I had to take it over and over and over. And I knew that there was something in me, that there was something that I was blaming on Paul, but really, I knew that I had this little black thing in me that was bad, and I needed to get rid of it. And this was going to do it. I was going to be healed. I was going to be right with Jesus. I was going to go home, and it was going to be great. I wouldn't have to worry about this anymore. I could go be with Paul, for real, Paul. Except for not Paul, because he didn't know Jesus. But, like, I could find a boy, and I would be happy, and I would get married and have kids, and it would be wonderful. And so it was the most hopeful I had been in a long, long time. And then Pat says, we're done. No, we're not. No, we're not done. No, it's not done. No, we're done. The demons are gone. There were many. And she had been naming them as they were coming out of me. And she said, no, they're gone. And I said, Pat, they're not gone. We have to keep going. We have to keep going. They're not gone. They're gone. No, they're not gone. You don't understand. Now, I can't say I think I'm gay, because I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew that I still had that feeling. And I'm crying and crying. Pat, it's not done. It's not done. There's one left. It's not done. And then I heard a voice. And the voice said, you are as I made you. Be who you are. And I stopped. What? You are as I made you. And I was done. I said, cool, we're done. And I was done. And I walked out of there, and I was terrified, because I knew from all of the time that I had spent in church that those, pardon my language, those faggots were bad news. And I was one of them. That's who I was. I knew it because it was there. But God just told me that I was as I was. I am who I am. I'm how I'm supposed to be. Which is both the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life and the most terrifying thing I've ever heard in my life. This night, still to this day, I can't go into Central United Protestant Christian Church in Richland, Washington. One of my friends got married there, and I thought I could make it. I couldn't. I walked in, saw that big cross that I had stared at for hours during this event, or minutes. I don't know how long it was. It was this long. I stared at that cross just knowing that this thing was bad, and then suddenly it wasn't bad. Didn't help the trauma of going through an exorcism. If you are a believer, please don't do that to your children. But I was so afraid. But at the same time, I had such peace that this part of me was okay. And from that moment on, for the rest of my life, still to this day, I have zero shame about being gay. I grew up in Eastern Washington State in a rural area where they tried to make it a crime to be a gay person with children. That was a law they tried to get passed. And I had no shame. I had no fear of being gay because God had told me that I was fine. But I had to go to a meeting with my mother and Pat and all of the people. One of whom, this is sort of an offsides, but it's fun. There's a child in Washington State who is now probably 25, because this was a long time ago, whose name is Sarah Beth, and that's because that's my name. Please don't tell. But during my exorcism, it was the first time her mother felt her move. So she named her Sarah Beth. She was very unhappy when she ran into my partner and I at Toys R Us. But anyhow, we're going to this meeting, and I'm terrified. I'm terrified because I was, quote, the largest carrier of demons in Eastern Washington State that Pat had ever seen. Yikes, how do you tell your mom that? And I knew my mom and I are going to go to this house, and I can still picture me sitting there, and I'm crying, and I'm like, my mom is going to be so mad at me because Jesus is so important. And I had let this demons in, you know, demons, like for real. And then my mom is sitting there, and they're talking, and they're telling her about this event. And I remember my mom looking at me and looking at them and saying, you did what to my daughter without calling me? What? So for the second time in about a week, I felt peace. My mom wasn't mad at me. My mom was mad at them, which she should have been, because, again, don't do that to your children. And what's funny about it is now I'm an atheist. I full-on carry the flag atheist. And I believe that what I heard was actually an auditory hallucination caused by stress. But it doesn't matter, because from that age until now, I knew that I was fine. I've gone up against and debated homosexuality with Christian people, and my fallback is always, God told me I was fine. Tell me how that's wrong. My mom is now an atheist. My stepdad is an atheist. My whole family, we were just like, peace, we're out. But even though it's something that still bugs me to this day, I still have issues with it. It was by far the best thing that ever happened to me, because if you're a gay kid and you've got all that shame inside of you and you feel like everyone's going to hate you, having God tell you that you are as you were made, there's nothing in the world that can beat that. Nothing at all.